You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
What it is, what's up, and welcome everyone to Faces and Feels. I'm your host, Rafe Hewson, and today I'm joined by a very special guest. He is the truth. It's the dad bod god. It's my friend, your enemy. It is Piers Austin. How are you, my man?
Hey, what an intro, man. That was something. That was impressive, bro. That was impressive, yes. Yeah, your friend, everyone's enemy.
I ad-libbed that bit. You can have that.
Thank you very much, man. You know, I call myself the truth-speaking, heat-seeking, dad bod god himself, the truth, Piers Austin. And, man, that's I'm excited to be here, man. You and I have been talking about this for a while, man, and I'm glad to actually be on your platform, and thank you very much for having me.
Oh, of course. Man, thank you so much for your patience with me. Pierce and I were going to do this a while ago, and I went and fucking shattered my wrist into a million pieces and fucking slowed me right down. So we finally got around to doing it. Pierce is, if you don't know who Pierce is, he's a huge part of the Australian wrestling landscape, huge channel on YouTube, and a bit of somebody that I sort of, you know, look to that really kind of sets the trends in, you know, wrestling media in Australia. So I'm very happy to have you on, my man. And I think it's going to be really interesting for everybody to hear your story.
Yeah, man. No, thank you very much, bro. It's an interesting journey, man. Like I think everyone in wrestling starts off as being a huge, huge fan. And, and you know, that's kind of where I sort of started off, man. And, you know, before the pandemic, it was, you know, I started I was in these wrestling belt groups. I've seen these guys doing live streams in Facebook groups and shit. And I'm like, this is pretty cool and shit. And, you know, like they had me on one of them, and I was like talking about wrestling, and then like their audience, they were getting like 30, 40 live viewers and shit. And they're going, this Australian guy is awesome. You know what I mean? Yeah, they're popping for me because I'm just like, yeah, whatever, fuck you. You know, sorry, I don't know if I can swear on this.
No, you absolutely fucking can. And it is funny that you mentioned that, like about, you know, being, I guess, an Australian novelty to Americans, because I sort of felt that when I started my channel that I almost had to, because I know how Australians are, right? I almost had to seek American guests first to then sort of build a resume so anybody in the Australian wrestling scene would talk to me. At least that's how I sort of felt that I had to approach it, you know, to sort of build that credibility. And the Americans were very willing to talk to me because it's like a novelty. It's like, oh, it's a new country. He's got a different accent. He's got a different platform, you know, all that kind of stuff. And that sort of, you know, got a little bit more traction. So it is interesting how we're kind of a little bit more inclined to listen to, I guess, voices from other countries over our own, you know.
Well, it's interesting because I started off I started off interviewing, like my first five interviews were like Zicky Dice, who was the NWA television champion.
Yeah,
at the time.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Then I had Thunder Rosa, who was the NWA women's champion at the time. Mm-hmm. Tim Storm. Mm-hmm. Who else I have on? I had the Kingpin Angel from ECW, who me and him become very good friends and started wrestling with Tragedy and everything like that. Then I was like, you know, then I had Al Snow, and it was like, these are all in my top five, eight interview, like start interviews. And I put in there, like I had the Messiah, former deathmatch wrestler from CZW, XPW. Mm-hmm. I had Corporal Robinson as well. So I had like a bit of a mix, and then I thought, yeah, let's get some Australian wrestlers on. And then the pandemic happened, and then I was like doing like three, four live interviews a week, and you know what I mean? And just sort of built from there.
Had the time to apply yourself. It's funny that you mentioned the pandemic, because I started around the same time, and I had this grand goal. I was like, fuck, we're all getting locked down. I'm going to be able to record every day. I'm going to knock this out. Except for my job, I never got knocked down. Everybody else got stood down, but I was in that store on my own, like packing orders and shit. So I actually never had any time off for the pandemic. I just worked through the entire thing. It was fucking so annoying because I was like, this is the time. And I was like, guess it's not the time. I'm just going to have to do it, you know, on the weekends or like on my RDO or whatever. But let's rewind it and we'll do what I normally do. So let's peel it back to like how you got into wrestling. So when you think about like the first faces that stood out to you as a kid, as a young man, when you wrestling first came into focus for you, who stood out then?
Roddy Piper.
Yeah, nice. Straight away. That's it. Rowdy, why am I not Rowdy. Surprised that he was your answer?
Rowdy Roddy Piper straight away. Sure. Like I remember probably I would have been like maybe 3 or 4. And like I was very, very young, and I remember like seeing bits of wrestling because I had older cousins mm-hmm. and would be around our grandparents' house, and they would be playing like the I think it was Betamax video time. Uh-huh. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Betamax or VHS, and they were playing, and I'd see like Andre the Giant, and yeah, because like getting wrestling back then was very rare
in Australia. Like,
so they had tapes, and I just remember seeing Hulk Hogan and being like, wow. And then I was seeing Roddy Piper and going, whoa. Yeah.
You know, I think you're the first person to ever say Roddy Piper when I've asked that question, which is kind of crazy when you think about it. I've done like 150 plus episodes, you know, 170 episodes. And like, I don't think anybody's ever said Roddy Piper before.
Nah, like Roddy Piper for sure for me. Yeah. And when I saw Ric Flair when I was a bit older, it was I was like, oh yeah. I had a thing for bad. I always felt like baby faces were very corny when I was a kid. And I would just saw like the bad guys going like, wow, these guys can do whatever they want. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Cause I think as well as a kid, like you'd love to turn around and, you know what I mean? Like do something bad, like not do something bad, but like have no ramifications for your actions. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think. Like when I saw that as heels, but like for me, Roddy Piper, just the promos, the presence, the entrance, cracking Superfly Jimmy Snooker over the head with a coconut, all of that, man. Like the entire time that I've been a fan of wrestling from the start all the way through, like Roddy Piper has been my guy.
That's
like
great.
that is the one guy. Like if they say who's on your Mount Rushmore, I always say, you know, Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Yeah, absolutely. He should be on the Mount Rushmore. He was like one of the very first, you know, trash talking fucking dudes, you know, and you think about like the movies and even I think one of like the first – like, because I could only watch it because the same thing, right? Like, I had to rent VHS tapes and stuff. I feel like one of the first Rowdy Roddy Piper matches that I saw that made me, like, pay attention to him was that one with Goldust, like the brawl, like where they're in the parking lot and, like, Goldust tries to fucking run him over with the car and shit like that. Like, I loved that when I was a kid. I thought it was so funny.
I also liked the Iron Sheik as well just because it was like, hello, Baba. You know what I mean? Like, and even now, as I got older, like the Iron Sheik on Twitter and stuff like that is just
still the same.
Fuck Hulk Hogan.
Every day of his life, they fuck Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, well, dude, I never became like, dude, I was never a Hogan fan until NWO.
Yeah, same. I never he definitely stood out to me when wrestling first sort of came across my door, you know what I mean? I was like, oh, who's that? But then it like, I think it was for me, it was like immediately Ultimate Warrior more than Hulk for sure. And then like I saw Legion of Doom and shit and that was a wrap. Like,
but you know what? When I was a teenager, like probably 16, 17, I was a huge Taz fan.
I love Taz.
I was like, I thought I was the only fan of Taz. Like when he turned up in EC, like in WWE, I think in 2000, mm-hmm. and I was like, holy shit.
Did you know him from ACW at that point or?
Yeah, because like this video store in my house when I was growing up, they got these ECW tapes and they had ECW stuff from like Eastern Championship Wrestling back in those days.
Yeah, wow.
And then they had the Extreme stuff and like maybe like, but they had like, I could, they had the tape where the Gangsters debuted. Mm-hmm. They had the barbed wire match between Cactus and Sandman. Just trying to think what else they had. It was such a while ago, but yeah, no, like I always remember seeing, it was actually funny. I remember there was tapes of him as the Tasmaniac.
Oh yeah. Yeah. When he was like barefoot and crazy and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So, and which is actually funny now because it's like, you know, me at 42 now and Taz at 50, something like that. Like, that, dude, there is a striking resemblance between
that's a little bit of a passing resemblance, yeah.
Well, dude, I'm the general manager at Rock and Roll Wrestling,
yeah.
And every time I go out there, the entire crowd chants Taz. Like, that's now been – the first time I did, I was kind of embarrassed, and then it was like now I just – yeah,
Do you play it like a if you're the general manager? I haven't seen Rock and Roll Wrestling, but are you like a heel type thing and they chant that and you're outraged to be compared to him? Or like,
this is the funny thing, right? And like, we'll break down the fourth wall. Everywhere else, I work heel.
Yeah,
like I'm a heel manager. I'll be a heel commentator. Mm-hmm. That's just the role that people like me in because you know, the character that I portray, mm-hmm. the fast talking, entertainment agent. Mm-hmm. But rock and roll, it's like, yeah, when I went in there, Hunter Hayes, who's the owner of the company, was like, yeah, we want to bring you in as our GM. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, cool. And I'm going, all right. And he's like, yeah, I want to bring you in as a baby face.
And you're like, what?
I'm like, and I remember the first show. He's like, okay, so I'm going to go out there because he's like, I'm going to say that I'm stepping away from the company. I'm like, okay, cool. I was like, dude, you know, like, I'm probably going to get booed. I'm a heel everywhere else. Like, I'm going, like, I'm kind of worried. And it was like, and he was like, no. Like, he's like, it'll be fine. And he goes over, puts me over on the mic. I come out, and sure enough, I get a pop. And then the crowd starts chanting Taz. So, you know, and I'm sitting there going, oh, like, do I play into this? Do I cross the arms? And I'm like, no, don't be a mark.
Just let him say it. Shit. It's funny. So, like, yeah. I also super like Taz, but like, I didn't have any of the ECW background. I just had like on WWE.com or whatever, WWF.com, whenever it was, you know, how they sort of had like that Taz timer type thing where it was like you didn't know who it was going to be and stuff, and that hooked me right in. And then he came in and I just thought he was fucking sick. I'm actually sending you a photo right now. I've got it on my wall of when I met Taz. I got it. It's just from behind. My wife took it because he'd just done a paddle, but it was just me shaking his head. I just quickly grabbed him like as everybody was filing out. I just was like, dude, I just want to let you know you're fucking awesome, mate. Like, I was like, I got to fucking meet Taz. Like, yeah, hell yeah.
I want to do a podcast with Taz so bad.
Yeah, that would be sick. I used to love his show as well. I used to listen to that shit all the time. Like, I think he's so entertaining. Anyway, that's Taz talk with Piers and Rafe.
Put Taz over. Hey, look at that.
That's fun, right? That was at the Double or Nothing in Vegas when they did like the Starcast sort of thing.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Man, he looks different now, man. Like, you know, he was the human suplex machine, but now he's the human sandwich eating machine.
Yeah, he's a bit bigger. He's a bit bigger now on AWTV. But yeah, that was we went over there. That was 2019, I think. My wife surprised me with tickets for that. We ended up getting married in Vegas, like the morning before the show.
That's rock and roll.
Yeah, exactly. It was like our 10-year anniversary. It was fucking sick. And yeah, we did all the Starcast stuff, and it was like the coolest wrestling trip I've ever done. It was, yeah, really, really fun. So once you're like, you know, you're exposed to it and everything like that when you're a kid, how do you then, you know, you get older, you're a fan and stuff. How do you start making inroads to like be involved with wrestling? Because for us being in Australia, like it's not really present. And here, I know for me, it was a million miles away. Like I didn't even see a local show until I was fucking 30. You know what I mean? Because I lived, you know, regional. So like were there shows on around you or like how did that end up happening?
So when I was about 18, 19, I was working at a retail store, and one of the women that started working there, her husband was a professional wrestler, and like people in the store saying, oh, you should tell Pierce, like he loves wrestling, right? Because I was like 18, like that's all I was talking about.
Wear it on your sleeve, yeah.
Yeah. And So she, like, we're talking, she's like, oh yeah, like, I heard you like wrestling. Like, I'm like, yeah, I do. She's like, oh, you know, my husband's a wrestler. I'm like, oh, cool. Like, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, yeah, like, he's training this weekend. Like, if you want, I can ask him to, you know, if you take you along or whatever. I'm like, yeah, that'd be great. Mm-hmm. And she's like, okay. So this is before like social media. This is like 2001, yeah. 2000, right? And so I'm like, cool. Yeah, she comes in the next day. She's like, yeah, cool. This Saturday, like, yeah, he's going to go train. Like, he'll meet you here and you guys can go. And I'm like, all right, cool. Mm-hmm. So like, I go there and like meet this guy and this big fucking 6'3" Iranian Persian guy called Iron Mehdi Basiri. And he was an IWA heel at IWA here in Sydney. I went to IWA, and on that day I met like Mark Mercedes, Tyron Townsend and stuff like that. And it was like, this is, and they're like, yeah, so it's going to be $1,500. Like, you know what I mean? Like I was like all in, like I went there. I'm like, this is fucking incredible.
Oh, like you could pay up and just start training with him kind of deal.
Yeah, like yeah. I went there and like, so are you ready to pay $1,500 down payment to get started? And being an 18-year-old kid and you're like, yeah. Yeah, I don't have, you know, $1,500, $1,800 to pay. And like, we'll come back when you're ready. And, yeah. You know, it was just something like if I wanted it bad enough, I would have found a way. But I always say, like, I clearly didn't want it bad enough. But, you know, for me, I was just a fan and just enjoyed it. Started doing the podcast in 2019 or 2020. And then basically, started doing the podcast, started doing interviews, and then started doing Australian wrestling interviews and then started getting, hey, do you want to come to our show? And it was like, yeah, come hang out before the show. So I'd go hang out and probably I was being tested just to see like what sort of person I am, you know what I mean? Like to be felt out a bit by people in the business. Mm-hmm. And by certain promotions. And then I started to get like, hey, would you like to try commentary? Mm-hmm. And like, you know, PWA reached out, would you like to try commentating? And I'm like, sure. Well, you know, we have a green label show. Would you like to do that? And I'm like, yes, that'd be great. Mm-hmm. AWE, hey, we need a ring announcer. Do you want to try that? Yes, I would. Hey, other company, hey, we like your commentary. Would you like to commentate for us? Sure. Mm-hmm. Hey, we needed someone to do commentary solo. Would you like to try it? Never done it before. It sounds intimidating. Fucking sign me up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I never said no. And the things I didn't know how to do, I learned along the way. And, mm-hmm. and then, you know, again, it come down with, you know, managing Vinnie Vane, mm-hmm. you know, Vinnie Vane's one of my best friends in the game and in the business. And he wanted to work with me and I wanted to work with him. And then it was like, okay, and he said, will you be my manager? Yes, let's go pitch it. And it took a while, like at FWA, let's do it. We'll run with it. Then other places were like, oh, we don't know. Like Vinny is a good talker. Mm-hmm. We don't think he needs a manager. Mm-hmm. And it's like, but we just started doing more promos and stuff like that. And it was like, it's kind of like, I never really sought out to break into wrestling. Mm-hmm. It's just something that, I hope this doesn't sound pretentious or obnoxious, but it's like I kind of fell into it. Yeah, it was like it came from the podcast, and it's like opportunities came, and it's like people said, "Hey, would you like to? Do you think you can do this?" And I'm like, "Sure, sign me up. I'll take. Yeah, absolutely. You know what I mean? The worst I can do is fall on my face and fail, and then I get back up again and I'll try it again. And that was just my mentality of like." I have no fear about being an idiot or being public or, you know, there's no shame. There's no embarrassment of doing something like that or putting your best foot forward in trying something like that. Mm-hmm. And I just took opportunities and said, yes, I will do this to the best of my ability. I would follow up. Hey, what can I do to make this better? What can I do to improve this? I would talk to veterans. I would talk to the promoters. I would take that advice on. And then it's like, I took whatever role that I had, whether it be small, big, medium, whatever on a show. And I would try and prepare and do the best that I can to make it the most entertaining thing possible. Mm-hmm. And that has always been my goal. I said, I want this to be believable. I want what I'm saying to be believable. I want what I'm saying to mean something. I want to get a reaction, and I'm going to do the best of my ability to get there.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? Like, I sort of fell into commentary sort of in a bit of a similar way. And I mean, I think probably for, you know, wrestling promoters and stuff, when they look at something like that, our body of work, you know, podcast, whatever it may be, that's the resume, you know, like they know you can talk, they know you come with an audience, that all that thing. The rest is, like you said, it's intention, right? It's following through. Yep. It's showing you're a good person. It's showing that you want to be there and you're going to work hard and you're going to put in the extra mile and just not drop the ball really in whatever you do. And that goes for kind of everything in life, really. Like, you can, and there is a certain amount of confidence that you build in yourself when you do interviews, when you speak to strangers, when you carry things off and people like your shows and stuff like that. You can translate that into commentary. You can translate into ring announcing, promos, whatever you need, segments and stuff. You can, it all kind of flows together, you know. The rest is just actually backing it up.
It really fucking, like, pisses me off when I see people involved in the wrestling business in a non-wrestling role like I am that turn up, they look like dog shit. Then if they're not clean shaven, if they have a beard, have your facial hair on point. Mm-hmm. If you're bald like I am, have a fucking clean shave. Don't come up with you know what I mean?
Yeah,
don't
look fucking sloppy. Yeah.
If you're going to wear a suit, make sure that shit is dry cleaned, pressed. Make sure your shirt is ironed. Make sure your tie is clean and unstained. Make sure your shoes are polished and cleaned. No matter what you are wearing, make sure your clothes fit you well. Make sure you present yourself well. Mm-hmm. And you look the part. You look like a professional. Yeah. Be a professional. If you've got longish hair, have it in a presentable way. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Especially if you were in a role of a ring announcer or a presenter.
Absolutely.
Presenter. A GM or anything like that. Because if I would not leave my house looking like that. So why would I appear on a wrestling show looking like that?
And it's, you know, like, I mean? And for the audience, no matter where the show is, you want them to have that suspension disbelief. You want them to feel like I'm watching a professional organization. I've paid my money to people that have their shit together. And so you need to do that. There's sometimes it, as well, I'm like, why? There's people in certain roles, and I'm not going to name anybody or anything like that, but like, they're in certain roles. Well, I don't know their names, but where they come out and like they're doing ring announcing, but they literally look terrified, right? And like, there's no intention behind it or anything like that. And they're like, oh, and it's this and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, why are you putting this person out there to fight? This clearly isn't a role that suits them. You know, and it's like, you may want to do it, but guess what? I've seen this company every, you know, once a year for as long as I've watched it in like indie wrestling, whatever it may be. And it's always this. And it's like, so maybe you just need to find another role for them where they can shine and put somebody there that's going to present your show in like the correct manner. That's sort of how I look at it, you know?
Well, I think like promotions just need to have a standard for themselves.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of promotions and one thing that, you know, you see in wrestling, and I've said this time and time again, you know, it's the unprofessional wrestling business. And it's, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like any other sport or industry where when you're good, you get rewarded. Mm-hmm. When you're good, you get opportunity. Mm-hmm. It's an industry where it's like, it's full of nepotism. And it's like, oh no, this person's going to get this opportunity or this booking world because, you know, they suck the most dick. And you know what I mean? Like that's the nature of it, bro. Like, it's not like, say, combat sports where it's like, hey, if you get a string of wins together, you get yourself an opportunity on a bigger platform or, you know, to get a bigger bag. Mm-hmm. Whereas like, that's not the case in professional wrestling because it's a subjective art form. Mm-hmm. It's a subjective industry. And that's where it's like, and most company, and you look at it, 99.9% of companies are booking on nepotism. You know, oh, they're my buddy. Oh, this person's my friend. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, that's what it is. Like, this is, you know, for in somewhat, it's a hobby.
Mm.
Because let's be honest, there's no one making a full-time living in Australian wrestling. Like, there just isn't. Mm-hmm. Not one person. And that's where it's like, I think as much as people say they want to see it grow in Australia and people make a full-time living in Australian wrestling, mm-hmm. until people can treat it like a business mm-hmm. and put the nepotism aside mm-hmm. and look at, okay, putting on a show, what is going to be the best for business? Mm-hmm. What is going to be the best to make money? Mm-hmm. What is going to be the best to put us in a position that we can run our next show at a bigger venue? Mm-hmm. And then we can keep leveling up mm-hmm. and keep leveling up. Mm-hmm. But people want to level up, but they just want to keep doing the same bullshit that's been going along. And it's, you know, as soon as they have someone that comes in, in wrestling, if someone is smarter than them, mm-hmm. like the people running the show, they don't like that. Mm-hmm. And when the people smarter than them start having opinions mm-hmm. and start having thoughts, again, bro, they don't like that. We got to fucking crush this out. We want our boys here, our homies mm-hmm. to be the ones here because like they like the same fucking shit that we like. We like the same fucking indie-rific thigh-slapping bullshit mm-hmm. and that's what we're going to fucking do and we're going to get those this is awesome chants and, you know, chanting our fucking three-letter acronyms and all that sort of bullshit. But you know what? It's self-serving bullshit because it's not serving anyone else but the individual performers. And just for them to sit around going, yeah, my buddies, promoters need to look at it as like, let's make fucking money.
Yeah.
Let's not, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, cool. We can all have fun and all that good shit, but let's go out and make fucking money.
Let's try and, you know, book angles and grow beyond and like build the audience, not just like keep the audience we have.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and that's, you even see that with AEW. AEW doesn't book for a wider audience.
No.
And that's the same thing with indie wrestling. It's got a niche audience mm-hmm. and Australian wrestling is a niche within a niche. Mm-hmm. So until someone can sit there and go like, let's look at it as a business wise, who is going to be a bigger draw? Who has, you know, the potential to be a bigger draw? Mm-hmm. Who has the social media following? Who's posting on social media regularly, who is having good matches, who is getting good reactions
who's posting on social media regularly when it's a wrestler? Not fucking many. Let me ask you this, because this was I was out last night and I was having a conversation with some friends and they had mentioned like the possibility of like, what if there was like NXT Australia, right? Apparently like the tryouts when Elimination Chamber here went well, and there was a bunch of people going to be signed and, you know, Triple H has always wanted to put NXTs in every country and stuff like that. And they were like, what if they did an NXT Australia? And it got me thinking a little bit. They were like, don't you think that would like kill the companies and blah, blah, blah? And I was kind of the thing, like, I feel like it would be better for Australian wrestling because nobody fucking goes beyond or can afford to go beyond their local area anyway because we're so fucking spread out. At least if you had like a parent company like a WWE doing stuff regularly in Australia, you'd probably see like regular touring shows and things like that.
I don't think Australia is big enough
mm-hmm.
for NXT.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think there would be I think it would have to be booked like an indie.
Yeah.
It couldn't be booked like an NXT show.
I'm thinking and I don't watch NXT currently, but I'm thinking back to the days of Full Sail and stuff like that. I don't even know if they're still in fucking Full Sail, but initial NXT, which was kind of like an indie sort of thing. Do you think there would be a market for that for a company that maybe has a home base and then maybe tours every couple of months?
If I don't know if there'd be an audience for a weekly show.
Mm.
I don't think an NXT brand for each country isn't going to make any sense because I don't know. I don't think Australia is big enough. Like maybe if you did like NXT Anzac, Australia, New Zealand or
Oceania or something like that.
Yeah. 100%. They do something like that where they group in like, you know, Oceania, for example, you said. That to me would be the most probably business sense wise mm-hmm. to do that, especially because like Australia and New Zealand are so fucking close.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you're not going to have an NXT Australia and NXT New Zealand. Like, even WWE isn't just going to waste money like
that. Yeah, exactly. Just pour, like, you can only pour money into a hole for fucking so long, right?
Oh, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Even when you've got trillions of it.
Yeah. I mean, but even when you look at it, like, you know, like, what would an NXT, like, Australia show look like? It'd be like a PWA MCW show.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Like,
but like, would it like, have, you know, the like, ability?
There's other talent out there.
Yeah, I wonder whether like it would have the ability to cross over. I always think with wrestling, it's like, how do you, and especially in Australia, like, how do you grow the scene beyond what it currently is? You know what I mean? Like, how does it become more, or can it ever be more than it currently is?
It needs someone with a lot of money. It needs a money mark like Tony Khan to come in and just throw money at it.
Yeah.
And even then, I think there's, when you look at the landscape of Australian wrestling, mm-hmm. how many people in Australia are actually signable? Mm-hmm. Like, how many do you think could go get signed and appear on NXT in the next week? And like, in a realistic world.
Yeah, it's not heaps. It's not. There's definitely some. There's absolutely some.
I'm telling you, yeah. I could probably count on one hand and have a couple of fingers left over.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. if I'm not saying that to be mean, cruel, or indifferent, but it's like, you know, let's be honest. Like, who let's look at it.
Let's fucking do it. Let's draft it right now.
Yeah, okay. The Pereira, Delta, mm-hmm. Ben Braxton. Lena Cross.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Robbie Eagles, obviously, if he wasn't doing New Japan stuff.
Yeah, but like, dude, he's been around for so long. Like, if they were interested in signing him,
he would have been
signed already.
True. When we're talking through the NXT like lens or the WWE lens, I see what you're saying. Like, when you're talking size and everything like that.
Well, like, I'm not like having a shit.
No, of course.
For his size, but I'm just saying, like, when you look at it, like, he's been around for like a while, mm-hmm. and it's like there hasn't been a thing. And I'm not saying I don't know why. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. And I don't think the size of the thing, because you look at NXT, they've got guys like Wes Lee there.
Yeah, sure.
You know what I mean? Like, they've had guys like Rockstar Spud, Daniel Bryan. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, they've had.
Yeah.
So I don't buy that. Mm-hmm. I don't buy that. Mm-hmm. But for whatever reason, he hasn't had a look in. Mm-hmm. They haven't signed him. So, you know, I don't think, like, to me, I wouldn't put him in that class of what I would say is that, you know what I mean? Like, the people that I said, that's like five, six people that I was able to name.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. What do you think of, like, I mean, he's obviously older, but what do you think of like the likes of like an Ugg?
I mean, like, I think Ugg is a throwback to, like, you know what I mean? Like, a Harley Race.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I like him as like a character, and like, as something different.
But Hug is a guy, you know, who just looks like a fucking man. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he looks like he will fucking hurt you. He looks like a big dude. He looks, you know, mm-hmm. like a professional wrestler. Mm-hmm. Same with like a Ben Braxton. He looks like a professional wrestler. Lena Cross mm-hmm. looks like a fucking professional. Bro, she looks like a star.
Yeah. That's why you see her in fucking Japan.
Same with Delta.
Yeah. Oh, Delta. Is Delta already signed? Like, Delta should be signed if she's not already. Like, or if talks aren't happening, that's crazy. Like,
yeah, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, for whatever reason, I just, when we look at it, there isn't a great, like, you know, I mean, we have some great talent here, mm-hmm. but when you look at, like, what WWE signs, how many people can you look at, like, take a step back, look at the scene and go, okay, who is actually could be signable here?
Mm. Yeah, it's a fucking, when you apply that lens to it and, like, the boxes they would want to tick and stuff, it's tough, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? Like, it's, bro, like, people miss out on opportunities for shit that's out of their control. Oh, you're 6'1", if only you were 6'2". You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
you know, just narcissistic fucking bullshit, which again comes back to what I was saying is, you know, it's the professional wrestling business. It's a cosmetic business. Mm-hmm. You have to be presentable in a certain way to be presented to a big stage, to a big audience, for make people want to watch you. Like if you're sitting there wearing homemade gear and your hair is a fucking, you know, you're looking disheveled and that's your promo shot, then fuck, there's not going to be a bigger platform that's going to come along going, man, I've got to have that person on my show because they look like a fucking hot mess. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, yeah, no, absolutely. People will sit there and go, wow, look at that person. That's a star. I need that.
Yeah. And also like thinking about, I guess, like your presence online and like promo videos and like, are you cutting a promo with your phone in your car or are you, do you have like a setup or are you in locations or are you doing things, you know, filming things and doing things and, you know, and things like that.
Yeah. I mean, look, promos, I think when you're doing that, if you can take the effort, and I'm not sure if you've seen the promos that me and Vinnie Vane have done.
I haven't, but I'll have to watch them.
Yeah. So we do promos where it's like, we're not talking down the barrel as much. Like we've done stuff where it's like, we'll do almost like mini episodes where it's like a 3-4 minute thing mm-hmm. that we'll put out on social media. And like, I think one we did for Integrity Wrestling, we pretended it was a special edition of my podcast where we were just like, yeah, you know, I'm asking him questions about Integrity, the match, and like we're in character and stuff like that. And, yeah. You know, but I'm putting the podcast spin on it. And the promoter's like, this is fucking different and incredible. And just, yeah, like we will try and do stuff that is fun and weird and unique and mm-hmm. as opposed to, let me tell you something, brother, we're coming for the belt.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, like my guy's going to go in there. He's going to kick the shit out of this guy and he's going to be the champion. He will be victorious. Mm-hmm. Where we like, okay, let's play into the characters of him being, you know, an obnoxious celebrity who, you know, I mean, just an absolute cunt who is expecting everything and, you know, just has a tantrum when he doesn't get his own way. And there's me, the fast talking, you know, sly, agent who's, you know, a slimy fucking
telling him what he wants to hear,
trying to get the next deal going, trying to get this. So, you know,
that's fun. It's like trying to think outside the box. It's a crazy fucking business, you know, like the more I like learn about it and have to do with it and like see it play out, it's fucking nuts. Like
professional wrestling is like the mafia, bro.
Yeah.
This is, you know what I mean? Like it is. Once you're in and every time you think you're out, we'll pull you back into it. And it's even the same thing. Kayfabe and Omerta, man, they're very, very similar. Mm. The code of fucking silence, man. So
yeah. Absolutely. It's fucking nuts. Well, what's next for you then, my man? So you and I were speaking a little bit off mic and you were saying this is the year for you where you're really like pushing the show and growing it and things like that. So what's your mission statement, what you're trying to do right now and how do people find it, all those things?
Yeah, man. Look, at this stage, we're just really trying to, I've been known for doing interviews and we still do an interview, have an interview drop on a Tuesday night. Mm-hmm. And then Thursday, we got True Story Thursdays, which is kind of like a variety show, a fun show, a live show that our audience can tune in live. And we've got a very loyal, viewing base where we have like, a lot of viewers dropping in and supporting us and, you know, you see guys like myself, my producer, Akel. We've got Giant Coyote who's in there some weeks. We've got Big Sarge, Ethan Hughes in there a few times. We got my man Vinnie Vane in there a few times. We got Torture in there a few times. And, you know, we just have this cast of people that we rotate every Thursday. And, you know, for us, you know, we're looking at it as growing this as a business. And, you know, the idea that we're having is to have our own recording studio where we can do – where I can do in-person interviews, where we can do our Thursday show live. And, you know, we're now having our live audience being able to contribute and be active in the chat and they're supporting us by super stickers and super chats and bits on Twitch and wanting to see us succeed and wanting to see us level up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's basically for us, is we're here to just be unapologetic, say what we want to say. You know, we're not out to hurt anyone's feelings. We're not out to offend anyone. We're not out to get any heat, but in the same sense, we don't give a fuck. Like, we're going to say what's on our mind. We're going to say what is up. And, you know, and like I said, we all have that mindset, is we're here to make money, and we're here to make this a business. We're here to have fun, and we're here just to push the fucking boundaries. You know what I mean? Like, we're out to make you uncomfortable. Like, that is the thing, you know, like, we have segments like Veteran Advice by Tobias Hemmingsworth Jr., the 3-year wrestling vet, you know what I mean? Who just comes on and who's like the antichrist of veteran Jack Vaughn. And it's like, he plays a character where he does a segment and just sends in a recorded video of him, you know, giving just obnoxious and wrestling advice, kind of like if you could imagine a delusional trainee just has no idea. But it's like, yeah, guys, just remember, like, if the promoter tells you only go 5 minutes, go 25, because remember, what would he know? He's a future Hall of Famer and a future WWE champion, and he's just a mark paying you for your time. You know what I mean? Like, he does shit like that, and it's like,
that's super fun.
Like, yeah, like, he even did one where it's like, he's like, hey, guys, you know, the best one, which we thought, we're going to cancel for this, but we didn't, because people saw that it was satire and comedy. And he was like, hey, guys, if a female wrestler comes up to you and says she wants to have an intergender wrestling match with her, you tell her, fuck no. Because remember, women aren't on our level, boys. And then he's like, but then tell her. Then warn her, saying, if she insists, okay, I will have a match with you, but I will take fucking liberties. I will kick you in the cunt.
Oh my God.
Like, but you know what? But the thing was, he was able to do that be in satire and comedy in one of the wokest industries in professional wrestling.
That, yeah.
And that's where we're at, where our Thursday show is like, anything can be fucking said, anything's going to go down. And and that's why it is one of a very highly watched show. And, you know, we're going up against and competing against Thursday Night Rugby NRL. You know what I mean? So, you know, for us to still get a consistent and big live audience every Thursday night for that show, and even allowing me to have more of a voice and have my, you know, spew my thoughts and opinions on stuff where, you know, my audience wants to hear that. Mm-hmm. And then doing it with a cast of people that are able to, you know, really get behind and really sort of say, hey, we see what we're doing here, and this is something special and cool and fun that we're doing. And sure, man, we got our haters. I actually need more haters, because the last ones became my fans. So, you know, if anyone out there wants to send me some threats or DMs and shit like that, yeah, I encourage that spicy shit. I really do. Yeah. Talk shit about me. Yeah.
He loves it. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, absolutely. Now, that's awesome, man. It's really cool, like, to see you, you know, keep going on. I know you had some setbacks and stuff like last year, but to get back on top of it and to get refocused and to keep building that audience and stuff, I think that's really cool. If anybody hasn't seen your show, like, what do they search, where they go, how they get to it?
Search Piers Austin on YouTube. You'll see my little green logo there. Mm-hmm. You can also find me on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Spreaker, wherever you get your podcast platforms. Mm-hmm. You can also find me on Twitch at twitch.tv/ThePiersAustin. Same with Instagram, ThePiersAustin, Twitter, Piers Austin. Piers Austin everywhere.
Yeah, that's it. And
True Story every Tuesdays.
True Story every Tuesday. It's the interview show, yeah?
True Story is the interview show, and then True Story Thursdays is the variety.
Yeah, excellent. Now, that's so cool. And then what wrestling companies are you active in at the moment over there?
At the moment, I'm active with Rock and Roll Wrestling. I am the general manager for them. Integrity Wrestling, FWA, EWA, Nui Pro, bunch of them. If I left anyone out, I'm sorry, but I'm trying to do the best I can.
Absolutely. He's a busy man, so get off his back. But we'll put whatever we can in the show notes to make people's lives easier, so they can come along, and after listening and they want to get more of their Piers Austin fix, all they have to do is click on the links and get to where they are. Man, I want to thank you so much for your time on this Saturday morning. It's been good to finally sit here face to face and just talk a little bit of shit, and I can let you get back to your life now.
Oh, man. No, I appreciate you, man. Thank you so much. It's been a great time. It is a great podcast. I've really enjoyed your content. And, man, continue to keep killing it. I love supporting other content creators, especially in this crazy world that we're doing it in. And, man, it's just, yeah, bro, it's nothing from love from me to you, man, honestly.
Thank you, man. I really appreciate that. Yeah, and if you ever need anything from me, vice versa, like always open to you to come on and we can talk some shit and do whatever you want, man. Absolute pleasure.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. All right, everybody out there, make sure you check out everything that Piers has to offer. And, check out after this little music blast, you'll hear all my credits and all those things. So, yeah, rate and subscribe, listen or die, and remember, it's all about peace, love, and pro wrestling. Peace. Thanks for listening. Faces and Feels is a proud member of the Count Out Podcasting Network. It is created and hosted by me, Rafe Houston, edited by myself and the amazing Ryan Neitzy. And the show is available on all good podcast platforms, so please go rate and subscribe. You can follow the show everywhere on social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, etc. at Faces Feels Cast. And you can check out the Count Out Network and all our sister shows over there at Count Out Pod. If you'd like to book me for commentary, have an interview request, a topic suggestion, or you just want to say hi, you can email us at facesandfeels@gmail.com. With all that said, thanks for listening, and please support our friends and sponsors. Peace.
My body is a roadmap of pain.
DeathmatchWorldwide.com. The official online merchandise store that is only for Deathmatch Wrestling. Featuring official t-shirts from No Peace Underground, John Wayne Murdoch, Akira, Madman Pondo, Zona 23, Neil Diamond Cutter, G. Raver, Schlack, Necro Butcher, and many more. If you are a Deathmatch wrestler, promotion, manager, or platform, and are interested in joining the web store, send us an email to deathmatchworldwide@yahoo.com. Deathmatchworldwide.com for the violent view.
This has been a Count Out Podcast.
Everyone loves spring, but constantly shifting temperatures can make it hard to keep your home comfortable. An all-electric heat pump from Mitsubishi Electric is the perfect solution. A specially trained Patriot Air contractor can help you design the ultimate home comfort system, and you'll be helping reduce carbon emissions by ditching fossil fuels for heating when temperatures start to drop again. Duct or ductless, large or small homes, even in extreme climates, heat pumps can help you shift seasons comfortably. Learn more about Mitsubishi Electric products at PatriotAir.com.
Hi, guys. This is Lauren.
This is Michael.
And this is Your Dose of Death Podcast. If you're genuinely curious about the world of deathmatch wrestling, look no further, as me and Mike have you covered on all things in the world of deathmatch wrestling, whether it's
interviews,
show reviews, or everything in between. We have you covered on all things deathmatch wrestling, whether it's past, present, or future. And you're probably wondering where you can go support us. You can find Your Dose of Death Podcast on all major podcast platforms, especially along with the Count Out Network of Podcasts. And also, you can support us on the Count Out Patreon, as we have exclusive content only on the Patreon for all of our listeners. We hope that you go listen to Your Dose of Death Podcast very soon.
And see you at the shows.